Baker McKenzie welcomes you to TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast series, focusing on sector-specific issues that are impactful on players in the technology, media, and telecoms industry.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kate Alexander. I'm one of the tax partners based in London. I'm delighted to be joined today by two of my fellow partners, Ariane Kaloud, who's based in Paris, and Eric Christensen, who's based in the San Francisco office. So we've had several of these podcasts, so we've been discussing the taxation of the digital economy, and it is definitely a topic that continues to occupy both the national and the international level, debating exactly where should we be going in terms of digital services taxes and the OECD's approach in terms of Pillar 1 and Pillar 2. But today we're not going to be talking on the international horizon. We're going to be focusing on a very important case that's come out in France recently. And the reason we want to talk about that today, because we think it's not just relevant for French domestic issues, it's actually potentially something that we could see other tax authorities copying and learning from, and therefore potentially will have an impact way outside just France. But just before we talk about the international elements, Ariane, perhaps you could help us understand a little of the background to this case and exactly what the Supreme Court held in France.
Okay, thank you, Kate, and hello to everyone. Yes, so that's the French Supreme Administrative Court ruled a very important decision on the 11th of December 2020 in a tax plenary formation, meaning the highest formation that you can have of the French Supreme Administrative Court, on a permanent establishment question. So the question which was raised by the and ruled by the French Supreme Administrative Court was to understand and to rule if an Irish company called ValueClick, and after named Conversant, which operated in the digital marketing business, characterize or not a permanent establishment in France. This decision overturned a previous decision of the Paris Administrative Court of Appeal, which had decided that the Irish entity did not have a PE in France. And the Supreme Court considers that the French entity rendering services to the Irish entity characterize a dependent agent PE of that Irish entity. The case did not rule at all on the fixed place of business question, so that was only focusing on dependent agent PE. And what is interesting here is really the way the French Supreme Administrative Court ruled the case. So evolving in its case law, the Supreme Court broadly interpreted the treaty provision between France and Ireland, using notably OECD commentaries issued after the treaty entered into force between France and Ireland, and consider that the mere fact to have the Irish entity determining terms and conditions and pricing conditions and signing contracts was not sufficient to avoid the characterization of a PE. And interestingly, applying a substance over form interpretation, the court considers that the French entity, even if it did not formally enter into contracts in the name of the Irish entity, habitually decided on transactions that the Irish company merely limits itself to endorsing, and which when so endorsed bind it. So that's something which was again going beyond what the current case law and on French on permanent establishment questions in France. It raised various questions, notably on the dynamic approach or not, which was followed by the tax administration, And if at the end that interpretation is not close to Article 12 of the MLI, even if the wording is not the same, so it raised various questions of interpretation. It also ruled on VAT, but I will not spend time on VAT because that's really not something that we will spend too much time on it. But just having in mind also that having a CATP could cause also the existence of VAT fixed establishments. What is interesting here above that broad interpretation is what does that mean? Because as a principle, a reassessment from a P standpoint should be quite close to a reassessment from a TP standpoint. But having a permanent establishment debate, which could increase with the French tax administration after this case law, is something which has various other impacts, notably extended statute of limitation. On P equation, you have 10 years of statute of limitation. You have also the tax administration has a possibility to apply 80% penalty for concealed activity when a company did not declare a permanent establishment. And that kind of level of penalty entails automatic referral to public prosecutor. So a P question is something which is extremely sensitive in France, much more even than other countries due to that that particular impact. So, of course, any case highly depend on a case-by-case factual analysis, but it's even more important than before to be extremely clear on the respective role of French and foreign entity, and having in mind that it could be a case law having impact on future tax audit in France. So I try really to summarize, but that's globally the learnings of that very important case law.
Thank you, Aaron. That's fascinating, and particularly your point that this is not necessarily limited to that specific case. It's not marking just even a change within the French courts, but potentially has a more global impact. So, Eric, if I might turn to you, really to get your perspective as someone sitting much further away in the US, how do you view the implications of this case, and what should clients be doing now?
Yeah, well, I might turn to Ariane for some more clarification, but the question for our clients, US-based multinationals, say, is really going to be twofold. One is, do we need to revisit, say, our financial statement position, that the transfer pricing that we've put in place for our French operations is correct in light of current existing law in France? Or perhaps do we need to begin to book a reserve for French operations? And then secondly, if there is some exposure as a result of this case, should we consider making changes to the operations in France? And I do think that the precedential effect of this decision is critical to that first question. That is, can we continue to say in our financial statements that our transfer pricing is correct and that we don't need to book a reserve in France? Many of our clients have changed, I'll say, from a remote selling model into France. The Irish company sells directly to French customers, to a local contracting model. And presumably that alleviates a lot of the PE risk. But for clients who, say, are still selling directly into France, Ariane, I turn it back to you. Is this case precedential authority? Will the French tax administration begin to assert a PE under similar facts in all cases going forward? And a second part to that question is, does this case suggest that it changes the law? This will be the law from the date of this decision going forward? Or does this case suggest that this has always been the law? And going, you know, looking backward, companies might have had a PE exposure that they weren't aware of. Our question, one is the precedential effect. Is this the French taxing authority position for all cases going forward? And second, is there a retroactive effect to this, you know, seemingly change in the law?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So, regarding your first question, that's precedential, meaning that since it has been a case law rendered by French Supreme Administrative Court, even if French Supreme Administrative Court sent back the case to appeal court, so it's not final on this case, so this conversant case. But the reason why the case is sent back is notably to rule on the profit attribution question and any other new arguments which could be raised. So I would say that it's precedential, but as I mentioned, the P question is really something which is extremely factual. So in the case at hand, you can also differentiate potentially your facts. Compare, a client could differentiate its facts compared to the facts at hand. The problem notably happen if you really do not have really human intervention abroad. So that's really, I would say, in that circumstance, that's something which could be complicated. But in any case, before booking any reserve, the point is really to understand the facts and to differentiate or not compared to the conversant case. So that's the first thing. But definitely, it's precedential because it's an important decision and rendered by so that renders the law, even if we are not in a case law, jurisdiction and in civil law, not a common law and case law, based on case law, that's something which is precedential. And secondly, it's also retroactive in the sense that it says the law. So it considers that it should have been interpreted that way even before. So in that way, it's also applicable on the past, definitely.
Yeah, okay. And I take it from that second answer then that the, and actually I'll ask you, Do you think that the court was applying the traditional dependent agent PE test under treaties, even, you know, pre-BEPS? Or do you think that the court was applying at all the principal role test that's found in?
That's the question, and that's the technical question of the case. And you have technical debate in that respect. In the way the case law is drafted, it's pre-BEPS. And the facts were pre-BEPS. So the facts were more than 10 years ago, and the treaty which is applicable is the one pre-BEPS, and even the references included by the court are references to OECD commentaries Article 32.1 and 33, dated respectively 2003 and 2005. So the mere fact to have only referred to 2003 and 2005 OECD commentaries, it's clear that they are considering that in that way, they are ruling on the traditional definition and not on the Article 12 of the MLI. This being said, the way it is drafted is not so far, but we have clearly technical arguments to consider that Article 12 is creating law, changes the law, and it was not a mere interpretation of traditional rules. So for me, that's really a difference. So for me, that decision is really pre-BEPS interpretation, and again, with the limit of OECD interpretation. So in ruling that way, they are ruling based on the traditional rules, and we should stick on that, and that's the reason why it's important to differentiate facts and to understand the decision in that way, even if we could not exclude risk of having the French tax administration having a quite extensive view on that. But at least in the case law, that should be pre-BEPS.
Yeah, very good. Well, I would say just really quickly, many of our clients, our more mature clients, say that did have an Irish structure or a Swiss structure, have converted to local contracting. So maybe it isn't so much a concern for them. It seems to me that the impact of this decision would be land most squarely on maybe our less mature clients who are selling directly into France, say from the US, a global expansion kind of exercise where they have not yet set up a French contracting entity, but I can see the facts being fairly closely aligned with the facts of the case. That is, the contracts are presented by French marketing and solicitation business development folks, and the contracts are routinely concluded in the US without modification. So I do think there's potentially some real impact on clients who are expanding globally from the US.
Eric, thank you so much. No, thank you. That's really insightful, both of you. So I hope everyone who's been listening to this found it helpful as well. But as Eric said, potentially significant relevance for clients, particularly in expansive mode into France. Marianne, Eric, thank you so much.